If you would turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. All of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm where the psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, with Christ as my great shepherd, everything God requires of me, He provides for me. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. That wonderful psalm or song of David goes on to say that Christ, the great shepherd, does everything for his sheep so that they shall not want. And I'm so glad that he does. He makes his people to lie down in green pastures. He makes them rest in the truth of the scriptures. That's what pastures represent. He leads them beside the still waters. There's no raging waves of strife, just peaceful streams of love. He restores them when they wander, and sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to leave their great shepherd. We're prone to leave the God that we love. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, and he does all these things for his great name's sake. God's sheep walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but they fear no evil. Why? Because their great shepherd is with them. It's his rod and it's his staff that comfort them. He causes his sheep to eat in the very presence of their enemies. Isn't that something? Child of God, do we have anything to fear? No, we fear no evil. We fear no enemy. His rod and staff protects us. His goodness and his mercy follows us. They follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, dear sheep of God, everything is going to be all right. More than all right, better than all right. So why do we worry and fret when we have the great shepherd watching over us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. You know, I was thinking this morning that when David, the psalmist David, visited Israel's camp and heard the giant Goliath challenge and mock and ridicule his God, he was beside himself. He walked all through the camp asking this question to all that would listen. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? He would say over and over. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now remember, David was a shepherd. And he told King Saul, he said, "I kept my father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." And David said, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this giant shall be as one of them." What a picture David was of our great shepherd. And he provides everything that his sheep need, especially protection, protection from their enemies and protection from themselves. Surely, David said, I like that word. Surely, goodness and mercy, most definitely, without a doubt, God's goodness and mercy shall follow Christ's sheep all the days of their life. And they'll dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Why? As I said a moment ago, because their great shepherd is with them. Hey, Dale, you've got a great shepherd. So let me ask you, are you one of God's sheep? Is Jesus Christ your great shepherd? If not, do you have an interest in being his sheep? Do you have an interest in Christ being your shepherd? Now you're in John chapter 10. Look at verse 6 here with me. It says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." In verse 1, Christ said, anyone that enters not by the door into the sheepfold of God being and meaning the church, climbing or coming up in some other way was a thief and a robber. Then he continues in verse 2 by saying, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth," and the porter being God himself, he's the keeper of the gate. "And the sheep hear his voice." Whose voice? The great shepherd's voice. "And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Now, Christ was purposed and ordained before the world began to be the shepherd of the sheep. He's the only way to God. He's the door. I recently saw a video where a shepherd of a couple hundred sheep showed and gave some people the manner in which he called the sheep, and several of them tried to call the sheep, but the sheep didn't respond. And each one tried it, several of them, men and women alike, and the sheep just kept their head down, kept right on eating. And what happened next was just absolutely amazing. The shepherd called the sheep, and I mean immediately they stopped eating and those heads went up, and within just a moment or two, they all came running towards the shepherd. It was an amazing thing to watch. They came running from the hills and the plains to the shepherd. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and no one else. Matter of fact, verse 4 here tells us, "And when he, the shepherd, putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And our Lord here confirms that in verse 8 by saying, "All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. So the first thing we see here is that Christ is the door. Look at verse 9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." You know, every time that the Lord spoke of himself, he used simple things that folks could understand. Here he says, "I am the door." In another place he said, "I am the water. I am the water of life." Everyone knows what water is. Everyone knows what it is to be thirsty. Christ said, "I'll give you living water." Our Lord said, "I am the bread of life." We all know what bread is, and we all know what it is to be hungry. And here the Lord says, "I am the door." We know what a door is for, don't we? If I am to come into this room, I must go through a door. Now, we have two doors here. We usually keep this one locked unless we know someone that needs to come in that way because of the steps. But if you're going to come into this room, you've got to come through that door in the back. If I am to come to God for life, I must go through Christ, the door. He's the door. There is no other door. If I'm on the outside of the door and I want to come in, that door is the only way. Friends, Christ is the door. He is the way to God. There is no other way. He's the door into the kingdom of God. He's the door into communion with God. He is the door unto eternal life. Our fallen Adam put us on the outside. By our sins, we've been put out of the camp, like those lepers in Israel, as we saw in our last study of the book of Numbers. Now, what hope would we have if God had not provided us a door? Christ is that door. Christ is the only door. He's not a door. He's not one of many doors. He is the door. Just one door. There was only one door in the ark that Noah built. Just one. You had to go through that one door to be saved from the wrath of God. And the alarming thing is that only 8 people did. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness unto the people of his generation. And only he, his sons, and their wives, and his wife entered into that ark. John said, "This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Eternal life is not in the law. Eternal life's not in church ordinances. It's not in church membership. It's not coming to the altar. It's not coming to the front of the church. It's not in the waters of baptism. It's not on the membership of the church roll. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Now look at verse 9 here very closely. Our Lord not only said, "I am the door," but he said, "By me, if any man enter." You see, it's not by our works that we enter. It's not by our worth that we enter. It's by me that you enter, our Lord said. It's not by your sacrifice. It's not by your submission. It's by me and me alone. The Lord Jesus said, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He shall be. It's by him that we enter in. It's by him that we are saved. And by me, if any man enter in, Christ said, he or she shall be saved. It's for certain. Christ is the door, the only door. There's just one door. And a sinner is not saved by studying the door. Now, we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. We should do all that we can to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a sinner is not saved by studying the door. A sinner is saved by entering the door. A man's not saved by admiring the door. Nicodemus admired the Lord. He spoke well of him. He said, Lord, we know that you couldn't do the things that you do unless God be with you. He was very complimentary of the Lord. But speaking good things about the door won't save you. You've got to enter into the door to be saved. Have you come through the door? The Lord said, I am the door by me. If any man enter, he shall be saved. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then I want to say it over and over and over again. Christ is the door. And no man, no woman, no sinner comes to God but by him. You've got to come through that door. Jesus Christ is the only entrance unto God. Now, where the Lord says, thou shalt be saved, that word saved, it means to be delivered. It means to be forgiven. It means to be pardoned. It means to be justified. It means to be accepted. It means to be embraced by God. First, we're saved. We're delivered from the guilt of sin. Christ presents us holy and unblameable. You ever think about that? Unreprovable, above reproof. I have to be perfect to be above reproof. That's what Christ makes me. I'm unreprovable in God's sight, Colossians 1:22. We're also saved from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. We're not under the law, friends. We're under grace. Our good shepherd king reigns and rules over us. And we're not only saved from the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin and the power of sin, but very soon we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. What a day that'll be. No more sin. We can't even fathom what that would be like. We're so consumed in our sin. But when our Lord shall appear, we shall be just like him. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. How sweet is that? The flesh is going to take on the very glory of God. But that's not all that the Lord said. He said, and he, speaking of the sinner, shall go in and out and find pasture. What is pasture to the sheep of God? It's a place to graze. It's a place to feed. It's a place to lie down. It's a place to rest. It's a place that will be satisfied. I ran across this verse recently in Psalm 14:14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now we know that there's none good but God, and we're only good being found in Christ. But our soul is satisfied only when we look away from ourselves and look to Christ. We must learn to take ourselves altogether out of the equation. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves, and there's nothing that we can do to lose our salvation. God is satisfied only with Christ, and I'm satisfied only with Christ. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. We find everything God requires in our great shepherd. Do you see that? Look at verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I've known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as the Lord said, I am the door, here he says, I am the good shepherd. There's none good but God. Our Lord has no rival. He has no equal. The Bible calls him the chief shepherd. The scripture calls him the great shepherd. He calls himself the good shepherd. There's none good but God. That's what he told that rich young ruler. Good master, what must I do to be saved? He said, there's none good but God. Friends, our good shepherd is God. The question is Christ your shepherd? If Christ is not your shepherd, then you don't have one. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's none other name, only one, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. In verse 14, he said, I know my sheep. That word know has a lot of meanings. But here, to know his sheep means that he owns them. You see, they've been bought with a price. To know his sheep means that they belong to him. He calls them my sheep. He calls them my church, my disciples, my sheep, my jewels, my people. And they are his because the Father gave them to him. In John 17, the Lord says, I think at least six times, that the Father gave him these people, these sheep. He says, they are my sheep. He said, I know my sheep. I call them by name. He called Abraham by name. In the land of the Ur of Chaldees, the good shepherd called Abram, get thee out of thy father's house. Go to a land that I shall lead you to. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew who he was following. He called Zacchaeus by name, didn't he? At the foot of that tree, he cried, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, I must abide at your house today. He called Matthew by name. At the receipt of customs, our Lord said, Matthew, follow me. And on the road to Damascus, he called Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And in verse 14, our Lord said, and am known of mine. In other words, my sheep know me. Do you know the good shepherd? Do you know Jesus Christ? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know him as this book reveals him? John said, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. His people know him as the living God. They know him as the God-man. He's all God, he's all man. They know him as prophet, priest, and king. How well does the Lord Jesus know his sheep? Oh, let me tell you how well. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. How well does he know the sheep? So intimately that he lays down his life for them. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. How intimate is the good shepherd and his sheep? As intimate as the Father is with the Son and the Son is with the Father. So much so that he lays down his life for them. Our Lord prayed for his sheep, saying that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. He's the vine, they are the branches. He's the head, and they are the body. So let's just quickly review. What has the Lord said so far? Well, he said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep, and they know me. Do you know the Lord Jesus? He said, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, there seems to be a lot of confusion today about who Christ died for. Who did Christ die for? He laid down his life for the sheep. Is everyone his sheep? That's what a lot of preachers say. If Christ died for everyone in the world, then I'm telling you that everyone in the world will be saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible also talks about goats. Now, I won't turn you there, but in Matthew chapter 25, let me read a few verses here, beginning in verse 32. The Lord Jesus said, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," speaking of the sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In John 17, the Lord prayed this. He said, "I pray not for the world. I pray for those whom thou hast given me. They are thine, and all mine are thine." He was wounded for our transgressions, child of God. He was bruised for our iniquities, not the iniquities of the world, not for the transgressions of all the world, but for his sheep. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Who's Christ talking about? He's talking about his sheep. In verse 24, the Jews gathered around the Lord and they said, "How long will you make us to doubt?" Well, he didn't make them to doubt. They did that very well on their own. "If thou be the Christ," they said, "tell us plainly." And the Lord said, "I had told you plainly, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness that I am the Christ." The things that Christ did proved that he was Christ, the shepherd of his sheep. Verse 26, he said, "But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Who did Christ die for? He died for his sheep. He died for the same ones that he prayed for. He didn't die for the whole world. He prayed not for the world. He prayed for those he died for. He died for them that the Father gave him. And then our Lord says this in verse 16. He said, "And other sheep I have." I'm so glad he said that. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Our Lord said, "Other sheep I have." I am so glad he said that. Could he be speaking of me? Could he be speaking of you? He said, "These other sheep are not of this fold, but they're my sheep. And them also I must bring." And that's not all he said. And he said, "And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." That's the best news I ever heard. I'm not trying to sell you anything this morning. I'm just telling you the simple, plain truth. This is as certain gets. He must bring his sheep into the fold. He must. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He must bring his sheep unto himself. He must bring them to the Father. He must bring them to glory. Why did Christ come into the world? To lay down his life for his sheep. "And other sheep he has, and they shall hear, and they shall come, and they shall be saved." He must bring them. He must die for them. And if he did, they're saved. The issue is, are you one of the sheep? Now here's what's going to happen this morning. It happens every time that the gospel is preached. Some believe it and some don't. Look at verse 19. "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said," speaking of Christ, "he hath a devil, and he's mad. Why hear ye him?" And others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" What do you think of Christ? That's the issue. "Is my God your devil?" I had a man tell me that one time. He said, "Your God is my devil." Or, "By the mercy and grace of God, do you see that these are not the works of him that has a devil? Can the devil give life to a man that's dead? Can anyone other than God do the things that this man does?" Well, in closing, our Lord gives us the conclusion of all that he's been saying. Look at verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's what eternal life is. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Oh, you talking about once saved, always saved. That pretty well settles that. No man, nobody can pluck them from my hand or my Father's hand. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all." Friends, God is sovereign. He does what he wills in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand and none can pluck me from it. He's God. Christ said, "I and my Father are one." So let me say again, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the door that opens to God. He's the only way that we can come to God. It's but by him. Jesus Christ is our good and great shepherd, and his sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Jesus Christ gave his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep, and they're known of him. Do you know him? He laid down his life for his sheep. He has other sheep that he must bring. Are you one of them? There will be one fold and one shepherd. He's the only shepherd. His Father loves him because he laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life that he might take it again. No man took it from him. He laid it down of himself. He said, "I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." And he did just that. He gives to his sheep eternal life. He does for them what they could not do for themselves. Do you believe that? Well, if you do, then I'd say you're one of his sheep. And if you don't, I'd say that you're not. Here are eight things that Christ says about his sheep. They hear his voice. He knows them. They follow him. He laid down his life for them. He gives to them eternal life. They shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of his hand. And God the Father gave them to him. Is that your story? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.